It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time.
Welcome to Science Friction, the sci-fi comedy game show where comedians earn points for their opinions and how close they are to my opinions. This week, we've got ourselves Jeff Pennington from the M-Class Podcast.
Hey!
And we got Kevin Cole from the Pretend Friends Podcast.
Hello.
Now look, I'll explain who these guys are later if you've never heard of them. And if you have heard of them, you don't need me to explain it. Like, and you're going to love them either way. Like, it doesn't really... But look, they won't stop talking about Longmire, these two. And like, that's where... Guys, guess what? You know how after Battlestar Galactica, we were all like, oh, we love Katie Sackhoff. What's next for Katie Sackhoff? She's the new thing. But then, like, Hollywood was like, but she's 25. That's too old. And so, you know, she played around in the Bionic Woman for a minute, which was another David Icke show. David Icke being one of the showrunners on Battlestar Galactica behind Ronald D. Moore. You know, she played like an evil Bionic Woman on NBC's Bionic Woman reboot. And then forever, I just thought, oh, God, this girl's disappeared. But it turns out Katie Sackhoff has been on a show called Longmire. Now, guys, tell everyone about Longmire.
Oh, my God. Okay. So Longmire.
We're going to start with Longmire, right? Where do you...
Picture like a show designed to make baby boomers feel very safe.
Erect.
And erect.
Like, Longmire is every single, like, if your baby boomer relative has ever seen a cowboy television program, this is how they pictured they would live in that life.
It is Gunsmoke, Murder, She Wrote.
Yes.
What? That's really? Kevin, that's Kevin. That's 10 tickets right off the bat.
Dude, that should be on the DVD. That should be on the DVD. Like, it's basically, this isn't going to be as eloquent as Kevin's, but it is NCIS in Absaroka County, Wyoming.
Yeah, it at least kind of starts that way, where it tries to be a little more like modern day science based, but in like a poorer county with interesting quirks to it. But okay. It's sort
of, sheriff's department does only have 4 people in it at this point, so
it sort of just kind of becomes Murder, She Wrote, in that everything is just Longmire's hunch. And his hunches are right.
Yeah, the cast is made up of Walt Longmire, baby boomer hero for all generations that were born in the baby boomer era. Katie Sackhoff, who plays big city cop, who just has to learn the ways of the wild out here in the Wild West, baby, right?
She's got
city
a
slickers don't know. The secret doesn't even come up for like 3 seasons. We're selling the show short, I think.
What's the secret?
the secret is, like, she was...
Don't you spoil Longmire for these people.
You'll just have to listen to Jeff and my new podcast, the Red Pony Podcast, and Continual Soiree.
That's gotta be a reference to Longmire.
It is a reference to Longmire.
There's also only 1 bar in this town.
Yes.
With 1 bar.
In this county.
4 sheriffs and infinite murders?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. For being this a Nowhereville. Cool, for being Nowhereville, Wyoming, people get shot and murdered on the daily there. God.
Wyoming?
And also, the mob is there. Like, and the Irish mob, so.
And that's magic is went. Real?
Wait.
Yes, wait. Magic is real in Longmire.
I'm sorry. I, to award myself 10 tickets, is it Native American shamanistic magic?
Oh, obviously.
Yes! 10 tickets to me! Tell me all about the magic, and tell me if it's a little bit racist.
Oh, it's...
It's a little bit racist. It's like a little bit more racist. Than a little bit racist.
It's literally just magical minority. Like, it's nothing... It's nothing that makes, like, the what's the tribe that lives on the Absaroka? Like,
the Cheyenne.
The Cheyenne. It's something that, like... It's something that pays homage to, cowboys and Indians movies, and not really a people's culture.
Okay, no, look,
it's my favorite part. My favorite part of Longmire is that he has a Native American best friend, and if there's literally any problem that he has to deal with that involves even a single Native American person, he goes to him, he's like, hey man, can you smooth this over for me?
Really? And does the friend always... Well, wait, though. So the friend does always smooth it over, though. Right?
For a while.
And then they're like, hey, you're the guy who's always smoothing things over for Walt Longmire. Punch.
Yeah.
They kill him?
Yeah, they punch him and he dies, Asterios, yes.
They kill Longmire's best friend?
No, no one kills Longmire's best friend.
They better not, because that's
although
not...
Although they try...
I mean, look, it's, you know, what I'm looking for is Walker, Texas Ranger with a little bit of magic and a lot of the acting magic of Katie Sackhoff. Look,
well, that's what you get.
I'm tired of hearing about everybody else. What's up with Katie? What's her character like? Does she wear hot clothes? Does she murder dudes? Like, what's Starbuck up to?
She does wear the lowest cut sheriff's uniform that's ever existed.
Yep.
At all times. She is a badass.
She's a badass. She's probably the closest we'll get in Western media to a true Sundari.
We're talking about anime now.
You get Kevin. That's 30 points for really sticking yourself out there.
I am really fucking up this game.
I said that word, and then I waited for maybe it felt like 3 million years for you guys to react to it.
Now, Kevin, tell us what tsundere means.
So it's this trope that describes usually a female character who likes a male character, but likes them so much that they can't possibly be nice to them. They are constantly mean, coming from the two Japanese onomatopoeia, soon, to push away and dairy to come closer.
Interesting. Okay, and that's another... Jeff, I'm sorry.
I'm pretty happy that I don't know the exact definition to that, honestly.
I might have mixed up those two. Your commenters will let me know.
No, and they will. You're up to 90. You have taken the most commanding lead. Because look, here's the thing.
It's fine by me. I mean, Kevin's pretty good.
No, he is really... That tsundere thing was a trap. And I'm like, let me see... Is he going to be honest, or is he going to try to weasel out of this with a joke? And you gave an honest answer, Kevin. Wait, but we have so many games to play. All right, first off.
Oh, my God. So
quick,
wait a second.
Yes?
Not telling a joke and being honest gets you points. I'm fucked. Like, I got nothing.
Sorry, Jeff. Look, man, I'm telling you right now. I've been a comedian my whole life. You know how easy it is to find a bunch of idiots to make jokes on a podcast? Oh, I hate it so much. But the thing I like about you guys is that you guys are your true fucking fans. Let's start with Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff runs a thing that I listen to called the M Class Podcast.
Woo-hoo.
And in it, he and a friend of his from the Comedy Collective Continue, they take apart Star Trek every week. Jeff.
Yes.
I just watched Threshold the other day. Why don't you tell people about it?
Oh, why did you pick that one out of all of them?
Because a friend made me watch it.
An ex-friend now, right? All right. Threshold is an episode of the series Voyager, which Voyager is very divisive among Star Trek fans.
Yeah.
Voyager came hard into the paint. And then completely dropped the ball as it went along. Threshold being probably the first showing of that dropping the ball. In the episode Threshold, Tom Paris, the font of everyone's favorite... Tom Paris sucks. But anyway, he... he wants to break the warp speed record, which... in this universe, if you hit warp 10, you can literally be at all places at once, which would be great for the Voyager because it's trapped in the Delta Quadrant and needs to get back home. It's like endless time and space away from where they need to go, so it would be perfect.
That's
instead,
the voyage.
It turns them into a catfish.
And what does that catfish do?
Well, before he becomes a catfish, he's just turning into a weird mutant man. He kidnaps the captain, Captain Catherine Janeway, and forces her into the shuttle, goes warp 10 again. They both turn into catfishes. They catfish fuck, and then they have a brood of catfish children. And then the doctor does doctor magic and turns them back to normal.
I'm not going to lie to you. This show sounds fucking awesome.
It's fucking awesome to laugh at, yeah. But Star Trek is usually very thought-provoking. You don't turn into a catfish, usually.
I don't know, man. Space is weird. Sometimes stuff just happens.
I guess. That's what the writers said when they wrote this episode.
Imagine finding out catfish are the most, like, significant form biological life can take in the universe. Dude,
humanity is on, like, a recursive loop, right? We're going straight back to fucking catfish. That's where our evolution is leading us.
Yes, exactly. Like, as you find out in the episode, which I unfortunately watched the other day, it's like, the ultimate of human evolution is catfish. But then, those two catfish fuck. And they have babies, yeah. And Chakotay's like, what should we do with the captain and Tom Paris' babies?
Just leave them.
And then they're just like, I guess we should just leave them here. And so again, two of our cast members, and this is all within the span of 42 minutes.
Yeah.
Two of our cast members.
Literally, they turn back to humans during a commercial break.
They sure do. They sure do. Okay, so here's what our main characters do in this episode. They break the warp speed barrier.
Yes.
Become catfish. Fuck. Uh-huh. Have babies. Abandon those babies. And then it's just on to the next adventure of the Voyager. Yeah. In the Delta
the best
Quadrant.
Part about it, the best part about it is that Tom Paris is, like, a little awkward about it. But, like, Captain Janeway's like, whatever, we were fish and we fucked. Let's get back to work.
He's not wrong, Kevin. He's not wrong. Kevin, like, Jeff, you get 45 points for identifying, like, Captain Janeway. Okay, so Tom Paris goes like, hey, I'm sorry that we had sex. Like, Tom Paris is like, he's like apologizing to his boss for, like, fucking his boss as a catfish. And it is kind of Tom Paris' fault.
We've all been there, right? Yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah. Hashtag relatable.
I remember the Friends episode that was about that. That's just stuff that happens.
Poor Chandler in that episode. He made a really hideous catfish.
And a bad catfish, too. But then Captain Janeway goes like, hey, let me do my Katharine Hepburn. She goes like, I wouldn't worry about it, Tom. Really, I wouldn't.
That's
because sometimes women initiate sex. So I could have had sex with you.
No one knows how men and women have sex. Sometimes they're just catfish.
And then they just cut to the credits, man.
Like, there's no psychiatrist on board the Voyager, but I feel like there should have been some repercussions for that. Just somewhere along the line, right?
Are children not enough repercussion for sex?
Well, they ditch them. That's not repercussions.
Wait, Jeff. Do the kids ever come back?
No. They literally never reference this episode again.
Jeff, are you aware of any fan fiction that delves into the possibilities of what happened to these catfish?
That's 15 more points for Kevin for asking good questions.
Do they join up with Tribbles or something? Is there universe?
I read a fan fiction. Because someone asked me this exact question before.
Okay. Yes!
Somebody asked me, is there any fan fiction about them as catfish? And I went, ha ha ha, no, there can't be. Or is there? So I looked it up, and there is. I forget the name of it, but if you look up fucking Star Trek Voyager Tom Paris fan fiction, I'm sure you're not going to find much. That dude looks like fucking wet toast. But... in the fan fiction, they go back to the planet and they take the catfish from the planet and they use whatever technology they use to turn Tom Paris and Captain Janeway back to humans.
Would that
and they
be
turn
going...
the catfish? Yes, they go to commercial.
No. Would that be going at like negative warp something to turn them back into? If you go backwards at a certain rate, do you turn catfish to human?
No. Kevin, are you a scientist?
A protonic cannon. They use a protonic cannon.
Look,
they steal proton rays from the warp core.
Man,
they turn the catfish babies into human children, and then wacky hijinks happen as Tom Paris and Captain Janeway fall in love all over again as not catfish by raising their tiny catfish children.
Wow.
Okay, here's what I was hoping would happen.
Okay.
That, like, those kids would turn out to be, like, hot adults, and then, you know, maybe Harry Kim would, like, get to go out with one of them.
Yeah, Harry Kim doesn't get to go out with anybody. What the fuck are you talking about?
Where's, like, Harry Kim's date episode? Like, does he get one romance arc? Because I actually like him.
Why?
He's okay. Nerd. He's just a dumb nerd. It's everything wrong.
But he's not a nerd. He's just bland.
I mean, yeah, nerds are kind of that way.
Well, everyone listening to this, fuck you, apparently, nerds.
I don't like Harry Kim, and I also don't like Garrett Wong. Like, they're both, it's like, if that character were either well-written or well-acted, it'd be fine, but, like, that guy's like a, they could have put a sandbag in place of that guy. Like, that guy's got zero charisma.
Here's a John Larroquette fun fact of the week for you.
Oh, that's from the other podcast.
10 more tickets. Yeah,
from the one that I'm on. Garrett Wang actually won Sexiest Man Alive in the 90s.
No.
Yes.
At the Irony Awards?
No, he's a very handsome boy.
He's never seen that man's face.
You ever seen that man's hair? It's fucking immaculate.
I'd smooch him.
Look.
That's right.
I don't know if he had a good personality, I guess. All right. Let's go. All right. We're going back to the first game I was going to play, though, because this entire time I've been looking at pictures from Longmire. Yeah, this guy is kind of a older Harrison Ford type.
He's a bit of a chunkus.
Yeah.
Mild.
He's handsome, too. He's handsome.
Mild chunko, I'd say. Well,
but the thing is, like, older Harrison Ford isn't, like, ripped. Like, you know, he's got, like, old, you know, kind of old.
No, Longmire is also not ripped.
Yeah.
He's got good arm muscle, kind of. Like,
he does go into a tattoo parlor and beat up 30 guys in a row one point in the show. So he's pretty fucking powerful for an old guy.
Well, right. That was because he was mad. Like
he'd also just been stabbed. So
he's really more Mr. Furious from Mystery Men, where like his rage dictates his strength.
That's true.
Excellent. All right, I'm looking at. I just googled Longmire shirtless. Okay, would it be fair to say that Longmire has, like, upper abs?
He has a gunt, is what he fucking has.
I'm not seeing that in these... I'm not seeing a gunt in the screen caps. I'm not seeing it. I'm looking. Hold on, I'm going to type in Longmire. You got to see the belly.
Longmire gunt. Type that in and hit enter.
Longmire glistening naked bod.
Yeah, okay, I'm typing in Longmire gunt. He's okay. Can we all agree that it's just a little bit of it's a pooch? She's got a pooch.
Oh, he's in better shape than I am. Like,
well, I would say I'm a little bit better shape than him, but he's way more handsome than I am. So,
Jeff, hold on. We're giving you 10 more tickets for being a hottie.
Look, I can beat the shit out of Longmire. I'm saying it right now.
And we're giving you 20 more tickets for Chutzpah. You're up to 85 tickets. Okay. Who now this brings us to our first game, which is called Boom Baby Boomers. Okay. Oh. Who are other? I want to hear about the characters that baby boomers love. I'm gonna start
Longmire.
Us out.
Longmire.
Well, look, we already know Longmire. I'm gonna start us out with this. Scott Bakula.
Oh god, yeah. Baby boomers love Scott Bakula.
Yeah. I don't know, cause I thought he was like a fucking charisma vacuum on Enterprise, but I loved him on Quantum Leap, obviously. So the other day at the gym...
He plays the same guy.
Yeah, but you know what? You surround him with other people and he becomes smaller somehow.
Like, I guess.
I don't know what it is about Scott Bakula, but I'm like, ooh, he doesn't fill the chair or the ill-fitting jumpsuit. But
well, there's like the thing about Enterprise, though, that makes me disagree with you, sir, which will give me less points.
No, it might get you more.
Is that almost no one on Enterprise has a personality worth remembering. So he stands out to me because of that, because at least he's the captain.
Hmm.
So it sounds like you're remembering his title and not his personality.
Hey, sometimes that's all you got for personality.
That's not good! You need more than that! At least T'Pol was icy. It's like, oh, look out for this. Well, she's icy.
It's true. I mean, it took me a really long time to remember, like, which white dude was which white dude on that show, because there's a lot of them.
I've been considering your question, Asterios, and okay. I think it's Ricky Lake for me. I think Ricky Lake is the boomer icon, especially in the movie Murder, She Purred, which is about a cat and a corgi who solve a murder in a southern town.
I think we need to unpack a few things.
Yes, please.
Everyone who listens to this podcast doesn't know. None of these people know who the fuck Ricky Lake is. Please explain who Ricky Lake is.
Have you not heard of The Offspring? She's what? A minor lyric
yes.
in.
Yes, I know who Pretty Ricky Fly Lake for a White is. Guy.
And also, she was a talk show host. And also, she was in Murder, She Purred.
All right, you're not getting any points for this. I'm sorry.
Wasn't she also in Hairspray? Like, the first one?
I don't know if she was in the first one, but I know she was in the remake. I think she was also in, like, the television. No, I'm sorry. You're not getting any points for that.
That's fine.
I agree.
Ricky Lake, because you can't project yourself into Ricky Lake.
Speak for thyself.
I'm going to go ahead and say...
I'll speak for both of us when I say this. If I project myself into Scott Bakula on NCIS, I'm solving crimes. On Enterprise, I'm flying through the stars. And fucking, if I project myself back into Scott Bakula in goddamn Quantum Leap, all of a sudden, I'm killing JFK in order to save Jackie O. So it's like, I got 20 years of projections there. But like, right,
if we're talking about boomer, like, straight up, I'm the murderer fantasies, then Ooh. It's Jack Bauer in 24.
Nah, that's like the easiest way you're going to find that's, your points. That's
yep. fucking Kiefer Sutherland's the easiest.
20 points.
But Ricky Lake was the brave choice, and it was the brave emotional choice that I stand behind.
I would not stand by that if I were you.
Yeah, I would fold on that.
You guys just haven't seen Murder, She Purred.
We're helping you out on Kiefer.
Maybe I need to see Murder, She Purred.
I think you need to see Murder, She Purred. I think it's a classic.
I'm going to say Scott Baio, because how the fuck does that dude keep getting work if they don't love him, right?
Now, there's a lot of Scott pollution in this discussion, I'm feeling.
There are a ton of Scots here. Look, here's why I think Scott Baio is still around. I think Scott Baio is still around because conservatives, they're like,
hey,
he's our Hollywood. It's not just liberals. We've also got Baio.
Who are most of the baby boomers we're talking about, sir? Scott Fox, Baio fans.
You're Fox News viewers. Wait a minute. That's 10 points right there. No, you're right.
I found that loophole, baby.
Well, name one thing Scott Baio's been in. Other than Charles
Happy
in Charge
Days.
Or Happy Days. Okay, no, you're right. That's 10
he's
points.
He's in all of those really terrible, like, direct-to-VHS, God isn't real. Yes, he is, and here's why.
Oh, movies. Yeah.
Are you thinking of Kevin Sorbo?
No, no one wants to be Kevin Sorbo anymore. He's not muscular.
I know. He's got that disease.
Yeah, I feel terrible for him, but he's an awful person, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's rough with him. I don't know. I would have accepted... who's the guy from Blue Bloods?
Magnum P.I. His real name.
What's his real name?
Burt Reynolds? No. It's the other guy. Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck. Like, yeah. You watch an episode of Blue Bloods, and it's like they're family, but they're also cops. Like, that's great. You feel pretty good watching that as a baby boomer.
Isn't that every cop show?
Well, yeah, but the thing is, they don't all have like a boomer-specific... access point. Like, Monk is my favorite procedural, but like, if I'm a baby boomer, I'm like, I don't want to be Tony Shalhoub. You know what I mean?
Nobody wants to be Tony Shalhoub.
I'm glad he exists. And
I love that man, but I don't want to be him.
Monk preserves the fabric of our society, but
yeah.
Wait, we've reached our second game.
Oh, no.
Which is, who's more Shalhoub? Okay, Kevin and Jeff.
Okay.
Get ready.
Oh, God.
I'm ready.
Start... Now, Tony Shalhoub is one of my favorite actors. He kills it as Antonio. He kills it in the movie Galaxy Quest. He's fantastic in Men in Black 1. Tony Shalhoub, There's a big ad campaign right now for him to get an Emmy nod for The Marvelous Miss Maisel, a show I haven't watched, but I hear Shalhoub's great. Everybody loves Shalhoub in Stark Raving Mad, where he's the crazy guy and Neil Patrick Harris is a straight man. Shalhoub is obviously fantastic in Monk, which was created and show written by one of the best SNL writers of all time, Andy Breckman. America loves Shalhoub.
Okay, yeah, we got Shalhoub fever.
Which of you love Shalhoub more? And most importantly, which of you is more like Shalhoub? Who'd like to go first?
I would like to say that I think I'm a little bit more like Shalhoub, but Jeff may love Shalhoub a little more.
I'm going to have to agree with that assessment, because I was going to say the exact same thing.
Damn.
I fucking love that man on wings. Give me some wings any day of the week, baby.
I feel like a few episodes of Monk have kind of stressed me out a little bit because he is as particular as I am in certain stressful situations. So I feel a kinship with the Monk character, but also I love Galaxy Quest, and you reminded me that he's in that. You also reminded me I haven't seen Galaxy Quest in like a year, so
he
I should probably re-up.
Excellent in Galaxy Quest too. Like, he is absolutely drop down hilarious in that movie, and he's like super underselling it is the best part.
Yeah, see, I hear your love and I just can't match it because I look at him and I'm like, another life, maybe.
I can't through a mirror darkly, right? You just can't look.
Yeah.
I have to say, all right, you're each getting 40 points because Tony Shalhoub, if he were here right now, would definitely have been as agreeable as you guys. Like, Tony Shalhoub wouldn't have been like, I'm the most Shalhoub and here's why, or I love him. Like, Tony Shalhoub would be like, well, I think we probably both like Tony Shalhoub.
Man, I can't wait to go to ShalhoubCon where everyone's Tony Shalhoub and everyone's just agreeable and nice, and we all stand in line for nothing.
I call going as him for Galaxy Quest. I call it. That's my cosplay.
Oh my god. All right. Enough of these trifle games. Now we're going to play the game. Fans have requested that it come back. Wait a minute. Before we do, we haven't introduced Kevin yet.
Kevin. No, who's Kevin? Who's this guy?
Kevin Cole. Look.
Hi, hello.
Listen, listeners, look. We're 30 minutes into this. Just do me a favor, listeners. Just go open up. You're already in your podcast app. Subscribe to the M Class podcast and subscribe to Pretend Friends. They're both so goddamn good. No podcasts, I swear to God. They really hurt. Oh, there's so many. And I'm on a lot of them, but it's just like, they're terrible. They're terrible. But these two, I love these two guys' shows. All right, so Kevin, tell us about your show, Pretend Friends.
So Pretend Friends is a show where we play, me and my friends, Paul, Nick, and Josh, and now we've added a new person to the show, Hadley St. Clair. We play a game called Space Kings and Fantasy Hour, which are based on a system that I invented because my hometown friends wanted to play role-playing games every single week, and we wanted to have too many people, and we wanted to get drunk. So I invented this game that uses playing cards instead of dice so that everyone could have a turn to be successful, because there's always a certain amount of success in every deck based on the rules. If you're confused, go watch the show. There's lots of episodes now. But it's we play a game.
I honestly think, look, if there's any podcast that wants to hear about your homebrew role-playing system, it's this one. What they do, there's no dice in this thing. They all have decks of cards. Everyone's got your own deck of cards. Mm-hmm. And then face cards count as successes. And number cards count as failures. And then there's jokers. And then there's the Queen of Hearts is a...
It's ingenious.
Tell us about this. It's really smart.
The whole system is ingenious. Like, I don't think I've ever told you this to your face, Kevin, but you are a genius man for making up this game.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, well, it comes out of just pure spite because I was tired of rolling really poorly at every D&D session I attended. I played a lot of White Wolf back in the day, my monitor is propped up by all of the superfluous White Wolf books I have, and I always rolled poorly in that too, despite it being a more rounded system for like success and failure. So I went with cards because cards have this cool property where if some cards are successes and some cards are failures and you don't reshuffle the deck, if you're doing poorly, you know that success is in your future, and if you're doing really well, you know that your hubris is about to catch up with you. So it's kind of like the narrative arc of a regular time story instead of just the random rollings of a whimsical god. So it's kind of like putting modernism on top of like the mythical nature of D&D, but also it's just easier and it's kind of simpler to understand because I simplified a lot of the rules down to, what do you want to do? You got an attribute, you got a stat, you flip both of those together and you're good. And that's basically the thing.
It requires no extra stuff either. Like if you're going to play Dungeons and Dragons, like your group's going to want like little, like a field. Like yeah. A lot of games require like a field of battle or like a dungeon setup. A lot of games require you to have extra dice. All you need is a pack of cards and a book.
We were spending all of that money that one might normally spend on figures and maps.
You gotta have
and stuff.
A D&D book anyway.
we spent all that shit on vodka and whiskey, and that's
yes.
That's how we came upon Space Kings. And then my friend Hadley, who worked on a video game called Hack with me and has been my friend since high school, they helped me out. They helped me out with Space Kings, which is the book I'm writing right now. And they're also working on Fantasy Hour, which is the fantasy the fantasy side of the Space Kings rule set, and it's also got like new rules and cool stuff. And yeah, they're DMing Pretend Friends right now with a fantasy rule set, and I feel like talking for 5 million years. Please interrupt. God,
can I interrupt?
No.
There is a video. He just mentioned this. He is the creator along with Hadley and I think someone else, right? Or was it just you and Hadley?
What are you talking about?
Hack.
Oh, Hack, yeah. Hack is a roguelike video game I programmed and did a lot of the art for that I made with my friends Hadley St. Clair, who wrote it, Brian Townsend, who helped me out with art, Brian Shepard, who did a lot of the promotional art for it, and Joe Keneally, who did all the beautiful music in it.
So Hack is available on itch.io and Steam.
We'll shill later. I'll talk about
no, I'm shilling right now.
No, this is Patreon your shill. That you can donate to
this
right now.
This is the time.
Yeah, there is an M-Class Patreon, everybody.
Yeah,
If you get into M-Class podcasts and you want to give us money for being real good, then you can do that. That's something that we have.
Is it patreon.com/M-Class?
It's M-Class Podcast, and we actually have, I think, 4 Patreon-exclusive projects that are in the works. M-Class Discovery, where we're going to go through each episode of Star Trek Discovery and give our thoughts and opinions in a similar manner as we do the older shows, probably angrier. There's Jeff and Josh Talk Over Movies, commentary tracks for sci-fi and fantasy movies that you can sync up.
I can't fucking wait for that.
And there are others. Jeff and Josh Shoot the Shit, which is like a super tangent podcast where we just talk about whatever for 45 minutes.
When I recorded M-Class with you, when I was on your show, we talked for 6 hours.
Yes. We recorded almost 2.5 hours worth of material, and we just sat and talked for 6 hours.
So there's stuff there, I feel. There's things that need to be expressed.
Jeff, pull out your cell phone.
Oh God, I've got it.
Look at the notifications.
Oh shit,
what's happening, Jeff?
Y'all got bought.
Nothing is happening on my notifications.
That's right, Jeff. I just pledged $1 to the M-Class podcast.
$1?
You're goddamn right. It's all I can afford right now.
Dude, any amount is great.
I'm very deeply
dude, so am I. That's why I got the Patreon. But
I'm in trouble, guys. I'm in real big trouble.
God, I'm all the wrong people, all the wrong amounts of money, guys. I need help now.
Yeah, only I'm not being ironic about it. But anyway, let's get back.
Thank you, Asterios. Thank you.
I'm in $16,000 worth of legal debt from a comedian suing me.
We actually were talking about that before we got on podcast. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Real quick. To outsiders, what does it look like?
It looks like an internet man is suing you for calling him a funny name. And
yeah,
now
it looks like an internet man is mad because you dunked on him, and now he's bringing the law
in. Yeah, it looks like you dunked on a baby too hard, and now that baby's kind of mad.
Okay, look, I'll take it. That's literally the most charitable possible conclusion you could draw. Thank God. Look, long story short, I made an album making fun of an internet man. and it hit the Billboard charts and was there for 3 weeks. I'm not kidding when I say this. It was number 6 in Finland. Number 7 was Adele's new album.
Dude, Finland hates this dude.
Finland doesn't like. And but then the man got mad, the internet man, and he sued me, and he lost. But you know, you still got to pay a lawyer whether you win or lose.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing: is like you're not anywhere near the only guy that's doing shit like this to this guy. So there might be a reason. Is all I'm saying.
And like, as far as like, don't hold this against me. But like, when you were like, "Hey, come be on my show," I was like, "This is a popular internet man," and I was like, I hope there's not some dark, horrible secret about popular internet man that everyone seems to like. And then I just did a quick Google and I saw a lawsuit and I was like, oh no, who is this popular internet man?
See,
and then I saw
a lawsuit and I was like, gotta get me into that.
No, look, it's the reason I'm asking is this. This is gonna be a problem for a couple of years. And so, like, what I need to do is, like, find out, like, you know, what does the average person know from a simple Google search? And the answer is, I guess I came across okay, but not
I think it's really great. Depending on what type of person is going to look at it. Like, Kevin and I both have really good senses of humor. Uh-huh. If somebody looks at it and they don't have a great sense of humor, it might not paint the best picture.
I don't think you're putting him at ease, Jeff.
No, look, but I'm asking for honesty here. Because it's kind of like, ooh, for a couple of years, I might have to just lay low.
Well, honestly, I think you're fine.
I mean, you're a successful, funny man on the internet. Like, like any amount of controversy is going to follow you, and kind of for good reason because of other successful, funny men on the internet.
Here's what I knew about you before I went on this podcast.
I'm listening.
You like M-Class podcasts.
I do, a lot.
You like Pretend Friends.
I love Pretend Friends.
You are the good boy of comedy.
That's what they call me.
And you do a show called Science Friction, which I've listened to a few episodes of, and it's good.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's all I know.
The good boy of comedy thing doesn't put me at ease.
We're going to play our last game, which is called 1 Minute Dungeons and Dragons. Woo. Okay, let me load up a D20 roller. Now, in this game, you've only got 1 minute to do whatever I tell you to do. I haven't prepared anything. Whatever. We'll figure it out. Okay. Let's go. Okay. Kevin and Josh, you are both fishermen.
I'm Jeff.
Jeff, sorry. Hold on. God damn it. I'm real goddamn drunk. I literally have the word Jeff right in front of me.
That's fine.
All right. Wait. Hold on. Let me leave some marks here. Swick, please don't leave that in. Jesus Christ, Swick. Help me out here, Swick. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Kevin and Jeff.
Yes.
You are both watchers on the moon. It is your job to watch humanity and view its progress, but to not interfere.
Okay.
But suddenly, you see there's a bunch of aliens coming towards Earth. Guys, what do? You're not supposed to interfere, but there's an alien. These might destroy Earth. What are you going to do, guys?
All right, who was looking at space, at aliens? That's not our job, guys. We got to have a meeting about this. We got to focus.
Look, I took a break for 5 minutes.
I mean, we're still on payroll if Earth is destroyed, right? So I feel like we're good.
Oh, man, I like Earth.
Wait, I like Jeff likes Earth.
I like Earth. It's got all the people I watch on it.
All right, you guys got to decide. Are you going to interfere or no?
Do we have weapons? Do we have any sort of...
Do we have anything?
You both have Chronoton Rays, one of which can do 12d6 damage to any space quadrant, and the other one, you can go back in time 45 seconds.
You know what? If we can't watch Earth, nobody can watch or destroy Earth. I'm going to fire my ray at the planet Earth.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's say you're going to roll a d20. I got it right here. D20, what's your charisma? Wait, hold on. Give me a pickup line real quick.
How you doing?
Okay, that's worth four. That's a D20. That's a D20 plus four. That's a 15. A direct hit on planet Earth. Earth has exploded. Kevin, wait, how do you react?
Wait, you hit Earth? I thought you were going to hit the aliens.
No, the aliens are just doing their jobs. Their
how
job is to destroy
reacting?
Earth. The aliens' job is to destroy Earth. Our job is to watch the Earth. If I can't watch it, I'm not letting somebody else destroy it. I've been watching this ship for 20,000 years.
Are the aliens at least impressed? Can I hail them?
Okay. Let's see. That's a D20 plus... what would it take to talk to aliens? Let's say intelligence. I don't know. What's the mathiest thing you can say right now?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
The Pythagorean theorem is worth at least two. That's a roll.
That's pretty damn mathy.
Oh my god, that's a 19. You establish a direct psychic link with the aliens. Their thoughts are your thoughts. Your thoughts are their thoughts. And the aliens tell you, like, we were going to kill that planet, and you totally yucked our yum. Prepare yourself for annihilation.
Oh man, Jeff, what should I think at these people to get them to not annihilate us or fire on them? Jeff, kill them.
Okay, I immediately turn and fire.
Okay, now Jeff's got a plus four because he's fire. It's his charisma controls everything. Oh, that's a 7. You totally missed the aliens. The
shit.
Aliens go, ha ha. We didn't know you guys were such losers. Peace out, Boy Scouts. The aliens start to leave the system, assuming that there is literally no threat here.
I'd like to leave them with a thought that will haunt them for the rest of their lives.
Oh my god. Okay, well, what's the most spiteful thing you've ever done in your life?
Air that dirty laundry.
I don't know. I don't think I've had a moment of spite in my life.
Okay, that's not true. You're a nerd. Come on.
It's true.
Okay, all right. Let's ignore spy for a second.
Yeah.
What's the most passive aggressive you've ever been?
One time, at the place where I used to work, I mixed in Skittles with the M&Ms just to fuck with people, and then I left the company.
That's a plus 8! Oh my god! Those two taste terrible together!
What delicious revenge you took.
Oh my god, that's a roll! You're lucky! Wait a minute! Oh, you rolled a 9! Which means, even with a plus 8, you rolled a critical miss! What do you think of the aliens?
Okay, I wanted to think of Walt Longmire's glistening sweaty body, but I thought of it in a positive way.
Now they think of Katie Sackhoff forever. They go, yay, this is great. We think she's so cool. She's not only a good actress, but she's very attractive. But even if she wasn't, we would still think that she's a good actress. We're not creeps. We're all male feminists. And they all disappear. Well, boys.
Those are pretty good aliens, actually. I'm glad I didn't destroy them.
Well, I guess Jeff and I embrace as we tumble through space infinitely until we're absorbed by our own sun.
Now that's another 20 points, Kevin. All right. So hold on. I need to assign.
Wait a second. If we're going to embrace forever, I'm going to make it weird. I'm going to lean over into his ear and go, this feels right.
All right. I throw a leg over Jeff's shoulder.
All right. Now we're talking.
All right.
I look. Boys. I want to declare a winner, but your spirit of cooperation, your love of both Longmire and being two watchers who have hot sex on the moon.
That's right, uh-huh.
Co-winners! I love it! Kevin and Jeff, you both won Science Friction this week!
Woo!
Well, boys, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having us.
And... why don't you, just very quickly, tell people where they can hear your podcast.
Jeff, you go first.
Kevin, after you.
All right. My name is Kevin Cole. You can find me on the internet on Twitter at RealKevinCole. I do a podcast called Pretend Friends. You can find that on your place where you find podcasts. I made a video game. It's called Hack, H-A-Q-U-E. You can find that on Steam. If you type in those letters I told you to type in. Those are all my things. If you like me, then that's great. Jeff does a thing.
I do plenty of things, and you can find me on Twitter at _JeffPennington. and I do a podcast called M-Class Podcast, which is all about Star Trek and, I guess, dick jokes, really. Star Trek, foul humor, and the love of science fiction, which hopefully everybody listening to this has some of. So it's perfect for you, the listener.
That's true!
I'm also an artist, and you can find my art on my Twitter. You can find it on the internet at large if you search for me. But if you would like some art made, I'm your man. I am freelance and ready to dance.
Well, that's fucking fantastic. You'll be able to find both of their contact info in the notes to this show. But speaking of this show, you would have heard it 4 days early if you subscribed to me for just a dollar at patreon.com/Asterios. Guys, I'm also on Twitch all the time now. Far too much. Twitch.tv/AsteriosKoganos. But for Kevin Cole and for Jeff Pennington, I'm Asterios Koganos. Thank you for listening to Science Friction. Love you. We care so much about you. Thank you for caring about us. Listen to these guys' podcasts. Listen to me. Say goodbye. Energize.
Bye-bye.
Bye.